Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
And welcome once again to SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. Darren Sutherland with my good friend Arthur Rice. Arthur, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good.
Man, you had to work all last week, every day.
Yeah. pretty much. Week, but it was a great week though. It was a great convention.
You know, it was NQC, and that's what we're going to talk about today, Arthur. NQC 2018, the good that we love, what we may see that could be improved. I mean, it's, you know, it's a fan festival, so to speak. So you get out of it what you want. And let me say this: we made a post on our Facebook page, and you can go there and read it on Southern Gospel News Podcast. They got a lot of interaction on what you like. But let me say this overall. I think it's a first-class event in a great facility in Pigeon Forge, in a location that's it's a good location for Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Let me just say that. Now, could it be bigger in a bigger city? Perhaps. But if it goes to a bigger city, there's more money, more things. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But, Arthur, you know, you were there every single night. I was there a couple of nights. And I was there on Monday and Tuesday night, got to see the front end of the week and see some great folks. And, you know, I've seen different artists post, and we talked to different people. What one thing stands out to you if I said right now, top of your head, Arthur, what's your biggest memory, personal, professional, whatever, from 2018 NQC this past week?
Wow, that's hard to put a finger on. All of it was just great. The showcases, the night sessions were good. It was all just really good. I think one of the things that I think I enjoyed as much as anything was Saturday afternoon, the quartet showcase.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, it was just every quartet that was on it just stepped up and just killed it. And I had the best seat in the house on stage because I love quartet music, you know, and, I love the singing. I love the harmonies and it was just really good. I think that's probably one of the best things that happened all week long.
Let me ask you this right here, and this is going to be kind of a funny question. And I'm gonna translate it to 1970s, early 1980s church softball. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Back in the day when every church had a softball team, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Everybody gather at home plate and love each other before the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then when the game started, it was game on. We're gonna win this thing and we're gonna show out. I know you guys all love each other. Tribute, Triumphant, Kingdom Heirs, Legacy 5, the Lefevers, Mark Trammell, you know, all you quartets love each other. The Kingsmen, Gold City, the Blackwoods, whoever, you love each other. But is there still that sense of competition in a way that, hey, we're going to get up there, we're going to harmonize it just right, we're going to hit our highs, we're going to hit our lows, we're going to hit our mixes, and we're going to tear this thing up? Is there a sense of that amongst you guys in friendly competition? I'm not saying one ministry is better than another because we know that's not true. I'm just saying, is there a thing that you want to show your peers that you're the best that there is and why you're the best that there is?
Well, I think it's, you know, especially for quartet convention, I mean, it can be categorized as friendly competition. But to me, it's more of, you know, these people, you know, most of them travel long distance and they have came, you know, they came to spend the week with you or 3 or 4 days or whatever. And they have, you know, they sacrificed a lot to and you just want to be the best that you can be. And you know, nobody goes up there with a halfway attitude. You know, you go on that stage knowing that you're going to bring it. You're going to give it everything you got. And I think it's a good testament to all the groups that want to step up and want to do the very best.
So who out of the quartets? I know if I ask you a true question, who did the best, you're going to say the King Damaris. Okay? Who were you shocked at the most? Not shocked. Shock's maybe too descriptive of an adjective. But what, during that quartet spiel there, who just blew you away and you said, man, they're on point right now? And this is not taken away from anybody else, because let me remind everybody this. Arthur Rice is everybody's friend, okay? And let me start it off on who I was shocked with, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this because he's a dear friend of the show. I'm saying this because this is probably the first time I really sat back and heard the man sing. But Matt Fouch of Fouch on the Couch may be one of the most underrated bass singers. And I can't really say underrated because he's in the top five of the Singing News Fan Awards. But his best days are yet to come, don't you think? I mean, just blew me away.
I'll tell you what Matt is doing and what he has done over the past several years is he's transformed from just a great bass singer to a great singer.
Yeah.
His communication skills have just really exploded in the past couple of years. And you're exactly right. I think his best days are ahead. I think, man, he's just, every time I hear him, he just gets better. It's just, communication is just really good. And part of that, I think, has to do with his program. You know, anytime you do something, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
And that's just gotten better and better. And his communication skills have gotten, and it's carried over into his singing. It carries over into every aspect of what you do. I agree with you there. I think he's doing great.
Who in your mind were you? I mean, I know you love every one of them, and they're all your friends. But what stands out to you when in that quartet? There's got to be one moment that during that quartet gathering that was just like, wow.
Well, I tell you, somebody that always blows me away every time I hear them, and that's Second Half Quartet. Now I realize they're not a quartet on their own. You know, it's kind of they kind of piece that together. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so good is it's not that you can go out and hear them, every weekend, or you can hear them, catch them somewhere on the road. It's kind of a, and this is the, according to Gerald, it's pretty much the last year. Now, they may put some stuff together here and there, but as far as being able to go and see them on the road, if you want to see them, you better see them this year. But I tell you what, man, every time it's like an all-star quartet to me, and they just, it's just piano and vocals, and it's just, great quartet singing. And, I'm telling you, those guys just blow me away every time I see them and hear them. They just really bring it.
Now, King Damaris, do you guys go do the Memphis Quartet show also?
We don't. We have been, offered to go over there, but we're right. That's always right in the
peak season.
Yeah, it is, and it's hard for us to get away. It's easy a year out or 6 months out and go. You know what? We could probably go do that, but boy, I'm telling you, man. You get two or three days close to going, and we've already sung 5 days straight. And it's like, man, we got to go 9 hours over to do. And it's tough, especially for us, because, everything we do is so, intact. And at Dollywood, even for us to go out, if we did tracks, it would be a little easier.
Yeah.
But, we got a full band, and to take all of our gear and and all our guys, you know, there's eight of us when we go, you know, we go out with the sound man, and, you know, it's a crew of us, you know, it's more than just a trio or four guys going out with tracks and singing. It's just a little bit more, it's just a little harder. And, you know, so it's, you know, anything, you know, traveling, that sort of thing. You can't just pile, you know, all of us in one vehicle, but, you know, you got to have something that you can travel in. And it's just the whole deal is just, it's hard for us to get away from.
Now, I've never asked you this question, and I've talked to the Kingdom Airs and talked to you guys 100 times. Now, do y'all have your own bus or do y'all lease a bus during the off season when y'all travel?
We just lease one during the off season. We had one for years.
Right.
And back when we were actually traveling more, you know, when the park was only open about 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, we did travel for about 4 months. And so it was economical for us to kind of keep one. Of course, most of the time we spent the whole time getting it fixed, you know, vehicle, you know, if it sits, that's the worst thing in the world for them to do is sit, because
right.
things go wrong and things go bad, and then you end up spending right. 3 or 4 months fixing it, and by the time you get it fixed, it's time to come off the road. But and then when the park started opening earlier and earlier and later in the year, you know, it really wasn't economical for us, so we got rid of that. And so it's just easier for us to just lease one, because now, you know, we're only out about 6 or 7 weeks during this time. And
y'all get y'all a bus driver, and y'all get y'all a bus, and if it tears down, they got to bring a new one out there to get you. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk more about what happened at NQC 2018 that we liked, what's going to happen in the future with gospel music and our mindset based on what we've seen in 2018. And again, we'll close out with some of our great memories of 2018 NQC. You're listening to SGNP with Darren Sutherland and my co-host, Arthur Rice of the Kingdom Airs.
Hey, cousins, this is your pal, Country Radio Hall of Fame DJ Moby, and you're listening to my buddy Darren Sutherland on SGNP.
Yeah, baby.
SGNP, we're reaching all across the world now. I was looking at our download numbers the other day, and Norway, Sweden, Finland, over 2,000 people in the month of September have listened to us in Ireland. And who makes that possible? MyPillow. That's right, MyPillow. And right now, MyPillow's got a great offer for you. It's buy one, get one free when you use the code SGNP. Man, don't that sound good? Buy one, get one free when you use the code SGNP. Call them today, 1-800-544-8939. 1-800-544-8939. Tell them the code SGNP. Get buy one, get one free on their premium pillows. It's that simple. Thank MyPillow when you're calling for supporting gospel music and SGNP.
Hi, this is Taranda. What's wrong with living right anyway?
And welcome back to SGNP, Darren Sutherland, and as always, my co-host Arthur Rice of the Kingdom Airs. We're talking about NQC 2018. You know, Arthur, we were talking about quartets, and there's a lot of debate about the quartet convention. Really doesn't have a lot of quartets anymore. It's trios, it's mixed groups, it's soloists. There was a time in the not so distant past when soloists never hit the main stage at NQC. Now, you lived through that, did you not?
Oh, yeah. 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 And I think it's just a great representation of our music as a whole, is how it's kind of transformed with the family groups and the trios and soloists you know, the quartet convention has kind of evolved to where it features those, because they are very prominent in our industry. And I think it's great that we feature all the genres of our industry and the different groups and that sort of thing. And it's not just quartet based. Yeah, it's still called a quartet convention, and probably will be from now on.
Yeah.
But but it still, you know, that's kind of the root of it. We try to, you know, really feature those quartets and try to keep that music alive. But it does, it is a good representation of our whole industry, our industry as a whole.
Arthur, you know, both of us, we're friends. We love the music, but we see it in a way through different eyeglasses, so to speak. I see it in the lens of not only from a fan's perspective, from a business perspective. You see it from the lens of a group's perspective plus a business perspective. So we share the business stuff of it, okay?
Yeah.
When I see it from a fan's perspective, it is fun. And tell me if you see this from a group's perspective, because I don't know if you do or not, because I'm not in a group. But there are certain artists, when I see them go on stage, that have been there year after year after year after year. And don't take this the wrong way when I say it, and I mean it in a positive way, not in a negative way, that they take it for granted. But they go up there knowing this is about the king's business. This, they're not, they may have butterflies in their stomach, but they don't show it. They are so professional at what they do, and there's such a positive air about them that they're extremely excited, and it makes a fan excited. Let me give you an example of such group, okay? I'll give you an example of two of them, and their art form in the music is very similar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Primitive Quartet,
mm-hmm.
okay? Some of the best musicians ever.
Oh, yeah.
When they go up there on stage, there's not an air about showmanship. There's not an air about we're this, we're that. They go up there. They do their job just as they would in a small church in Franklin, North Carolina. The same stuff. And I notice stuff like that. I really do. Another group I'd throw out there like that that I notice is the McCamies. It's
yeah.
business as usual. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. It's just this is what we do, and this is how we do it. And I don't care if we're at the National Quartet Convention or if we're singing for the late Billy Graham Crusade or if we're at First Baptist Atlanta. They're going to do the same thing.
They're going to have church.
Yeah. As a fan, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Without naming names, have you ever seen artists in a way – change their program or their profile based on the location that they're at or anything of that nature? And I'm not trying to back you in a corner and get you to name anybody, because goodness knows I wouldn't. And I say this more for the younger groups coming up to learn from. But have you ever noticed that in your years of singing?
Well, it's kind of like Paul talks about in Philippians 3. It talks about we're supposed to be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ and our work for Him. It's not a cockiness. It's just confidence that we're doing what the Lord called us to do.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's exactly what they do. Now, I have seen groups that kind of change what they do depending on, you know, where they're at and that situation. And I think that's a lot of times we get that kind of a little bit being at the park. A lot of people think, well, we just kind of sugarcoat our message because of the fact that we're in a secular environment. But we don't. I mean, we go in there with the confidence that the Lord had put us there to be a light in a dark world. And that's right. what we're supposed to do. We do know, you know, that a lot of people come, they want to be entertained. We want to entertain them, but we also want to make sure that the message goes across. And I think that's the most important thing is our message. It's what makes the difference in our music. You know, we can love the music for the music, but we got to love the message most.
Is Southern gospel music now, does it have more genres in it than ever before? And what I mean by genres is different styles. And since you, now when you were coming along, when you were first coming along, everybody was very, very close in the way they sang the music. There was a few out there, i.e. the Lewis family, i.e. the Chuck Wagon Gang, who was a little different. But for the most part, the Spears, you know, the Blackwoods, the Statesmen, the Kingsmen, they all basically kept it in between the lines.
Yeah.
Now do we see, and I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's great because it's grown the business, so to speak. Is there more different styles now than you've ever seen before?
You know, I honestly don't know that there is. I mean, I'm sure there is to some point, but I think it's the fact that the light is shining upon the different styles more than it was. I don't know that there is as many different styles as the fact that we are aware of so many different styles, and that platform allows them to be seen, and allows that musical influence to be seen that maybe we didn't know about. And so I love seeing the diversity that's in our music, and you know, there's groups out there that go places and sing to people that I couldn't reach, and I know we reach people that a lot of groups couldn't get to. And so that's what I love about it, is God uses everybody.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, ask a few more questions, talk a little bit more about NQC 2018. We'll be right back here on SGNP, closing it out.
Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
And welcome back to SGNP, the Southern Gospel Audible and social media voice of gospel music, Darren Sutherland, with my co-host Arthur Rice. Arthur, you know, this was our first quartet convention in the capacity of being media. And we got to walk around and talk to a lot of good folks, a lot of part-time groups. We talked to those guys. We talked to the full-timers. And we had a lot of fun up there. A lot of good times up there, and talk with a lot of good people.
Oh, there's some great folks in our. I love going around to talking to the folks in the different booths, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, it is a lot of fun, and you meet a lot of different people. You stand out there behind the table from roughly 5:30 to 9:30 every night, 4 hours. Behind the Kingdom Airs booth, when you're not on stage singing, are you there? I'm going to put you on the spot right here. I ain't put you on the spot the whole time, okay?
Okay.
What's the funniest question you was asked this past week?
Oh, wow.
That you just shook your head and looked over at your wife and said, you ain't going to believe this. You might not even be able to share it on the air. If not, just say, I'm not going there, Darren.
Wow. That does put me off, because I don't know. I was trying to think if there was anything that really that's that people are just funny. Anyways, I love talking to people because you, like I say, you never know what they're going to ask or what they're going to say. I don't know.
I'll tell you something funny. We were doing so after Tuesday night's concert. We were outside the building as people were exiting. And Tim, one of our co-guys, was asking fans as they came out the door, being a man on the street, was asking some folks, who's your favorite group? Who's your favorite group? Who'd you come here to see and who'd you enjoy the most? Well, the one young guy and his wife come out, and Tim said, how are you? And they said, great. And where are you from? And I think it was Richmond, Virginia or somewhere like that. We don't miss quartet convention. Anytime we get to see our favorite group, we're going to see our favorite group. And he said, well, who's your favorite group? And they said, and I mean, I guess it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere around there. I said, who's your favorite group, sir? And he said, Legacy Five. We never miss them. Tim looks at him and says, well, you're missing them right now. They're on stage. The guy says, I know, but I go to bed at 10:30. So
That's pretty funny.
So, lesson learned for all you groups out there. Even if Jesus is coming back at 10 o'clock,
it's bedtime, buddy. I'm going to miss it.
It's bedtime. You're going to miss it. So,
that's funny.
Anyway, historical perspective. Jeff is off this week on vacation down in Branson, our historian, so that's why you don't hear the music. He'll be back with us next week. From a historical perspective, where, and I know it's tough on you. You've done these how many years, 30 years, and missed one?
Pretty close.
Pretty close, something like that?
Yeah.
Where's this one rank?
You know, I really enjoyed this year. It was really good. I thought the production side of it was really good. The sound was good. People were happy.
Right.
You know, it seems like, you know, it's hard to make everybody happy. And I know, you know, everybody wasn't happy. But I don't think I had one complaint this year. And that is just... it's unheard of for one thing,
right?
But I think people were just happy during the week that they could come, and it was just really good. I mean, all the way from the chapel service. And I tell you, if you don't go to the chapel services in the morning, I think people miss some of the greatest experiences of quartet convention. Those things have just—they've always been great, but I'm telling you, they have just over the past few years. They're just so great, and all the showcases, and it's just a wonderful time and a wonderful week.
Do you think this may be a personal question, but I'll ask it anyway? Do you think with time, even when you're in a group, you grow to appreciate these quartet conventions more through the years than you did the first couple of years? I know the first couple of years you're excited to be there and you're on the granddaddy of them all, you're on the big stage. But now 30 years into it, are you looking at it like every time you get to do one, like this is special and it gets sweeter as time goes past?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like you said, you know, when I was young and did them, they were exciting. And just because of the grandeur of them and how big they were. And you know, we grew and got huge. And then, you know, our industry kind of shrunk down a little bit. And the conventions kind of shrunk a bit. And it's smaller than it has been in many years. But I think what I like about it now is the quaintness of it. And it seems more personal. I think it's, you know, it's a little smaller. It's a little... it's more down home, I think, you know, and you get to be a little closer to the fans. And
well, it is down home. You live in Sevierville.
Well,
it's
absolutely. That makes it even better. I can sleep in my own bed at night. Wonderful.
You know, me and you, we talked to various folks that night. You know, we were together. When we talked, I got to tell you a little funny story, and I'm going to throw a little pun out there to somebody. You ready for this? You'll laugh. Do you remember when you and I ran into Mike Lefevre, and we were over there interviewing Mike, and you came and jumped on the mic?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were over there. Well, a certain magazine took our picture, and we showed up on their social media the next day, okay? And would you believe when they realized who it was, they took us off. I can't believe that, but they did that. I thought that was kind of funny. Why would they do that? But anyway, it is what it is. I just thought it was fun. Had a great conversation with Mike, talked about his number one song. But I saw you over there talking to one of your longtime friends, Ray Dean. And Ray Dean is one of the elder statesmen of the industry now. I mean, you look around and so many of the guys that you saw when you were coming along are no longer at quartet convention.
Yeah.
And Ray is one of the elder statesmen now. How's Ray doing? He promised he matter of fact, he spoke up when you introduced me to him. He spoke up on his own and says, "Hey, I want to get on y'all's show." And we're going to get Ray.
Yeah.
I mean, he came to us. Usually we have to go, you know, I don't want to say beg, that's the wrong word, but we had to ask people sometimes two or three times. But just because of schedules and this, that, and another. But how is Ray?
I tell you, Ray is, I think I talked to him, and he's so excited about the new guys that's in his group. And they are doing such a great job. And I'm telling you, he's like a kid in a candy store. He's just as excited now as he was 30 years ago. He loves this music. He loves the people, loves being a part of it. And somebody asked me the other day that if I thought that Ray would retire, honestly, I don't think he will. I think he'll sing till the Lord calls him home. And I think if he goes on the bus, he'll be happy.
That's all he's ever done.
Yeah. I mean, all he's ever wanted to do.
If you think about it, when you think of the Kingsmen, of course, you're going to think of Eldridge Fox. You're going to think of Jim Hamill. But you most certainly, if there is a, how do I say this? If there is a trio for the Kingsmen, Ray Dean Reese is right there alongside Hamill and Foxy. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, God has blessed him for his faithfulness over the years and allowed him good health and, you know, his willingness to do the best he can do every single time. And God has blessed that. And I love seeing him out there singing.
Yeah. And he loved being there, you could tell. You know, some of the faces that you didn't get to see this year that you've seen forever, it's in social media, the name Les Beasley has been popped up all through social media, talking about this is the first one Les wasn't there in maybe 40 years.
60. Yeah.
Talk about that.
It was pretty amazing. Les has always been such an encouragement to me. Every time I see him, he's always had a kind word. And I remember when they retired, because, you know, I grew up listening to those guys on the gospel singing Jubilee every Sunday. They were part of my life.
They were the McDonald's of gospel music, if I can use that analogy. When you thought of gospel music back in the day, if you think of fast food, McDonald's comes to your mind. If you thought of gospel music, you thought of the Florida Boys. Let's just face it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And Les made stars out of all the groups that were part of that. I mean, it wasn't just a regional program. That was a national program that came on every Sunday morning. I mean, it went into every house that had a TV on Sunday morning. I mean, they were just, it was just a tremendous thing what he did. And for him not to be there this year, it was really surreal. We pray for his health, and hopefully, you know, he can come again. We would love for him to be a part of it again.
Couple other things we would be remiss and not talk about before we get off here is the tribute to the late Tracy Stuffel of the Perrys. One of my most encouraging moments and one of my great times was talking to Randy Perry. When I first started listening to gospel music, I tell you what, I was 16, 17 years old, and it was about the time God's Little People were hitting it big. So I don't want to say hitting it big, because that's the wrong analogy to use, but their popularity was just about to soar. Mm-hmm. And came out with a song, I Remember the Day When the Lord Saved Me. Eddie Crook was producing them back then. And it's funny, that song and God on the Mountain was sent out on the same compilation disc. Okay, number one and number two for 8 or 9 months, whatever. But that was a great tribute, was it not?
It was. It was one of the special moments during the whole week. And it carried over. Right into Tuesday for the induction ceremony of Tracy into the Hall of Fame. And it just, you know, those two days, it was just really a special time.
You participated in another special time, Squire Parsons.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, man, that was such, it was just great. I stood up there with the guys I'd sung with and guys that had been part of Squire, and just the legacy that Squire left and has had over the years, and just all the people that that he was a launching pad for so many to be in the business, and even if they're not, several of those guys that have gone on, not to be in our industry, but several of them are pastors. Greg Bentley has gone to work at Crossroads and just done such a great job there. All those guys have just been such a tremendous influence on my life also, and I've loved being a part of that. That was a lot of fun.
Is it true that Greg Fox serves as a vegan and granola Santa Claus in Asheville during the off season?
I don't know about that, but he sure looked like a woolly worm, as my mom would say.
Do you think he's trying to grow the hair that his daddy couldn't? That's the next question.
Possibly. I tell you, I love Greg. I love him. He's always been a great guy.
You know what? I have got to know Greg this year from just doing this show, Arthur. And I didn't get a chance to speak to him at the convention. But let me say this about Greg. There has never been a time that I hadn't reached out to Greg that he not only gave us a great comment, but also after that comment took a moment to thank the good Lord or give you a biblical lesson on why things were done like they were done and how the Lord worked through that situation. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Greg is another one that I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Greg. He's just always been just a great guy, good ambassador for our music and ambassador for the Lord. And I appreciate him and appreciate his life.
Wednesday afternoon, Gaither Homecoming. Place is packed out. How was that?
Oh, it's always special. Gaither has a way of bringing out the best in everybody, and he's just got a special anointing, I think, when it comes to those programs of the old songs and bringing people out and just making them just really stand out. It's a lot of fun.
Can I tell you this from a fan's perspective? And this is going to sound crazy, but it's the truth. You can look at NQC and you can see the greatness of it, okay? But somehow, maybe it's the brand, and I'm in the advertising business, maybe it's the image, maybe it's in the marketing, but somehow, some way, when Gaither gets on stage and everybody's up there, there's a different air in the room. There's a different positive feeling. It's almost like there's a different aura around everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's this man, Lionel Harris, when we interviewed him, and I said, describe Bill Gaither. He said, America's choir director. It's almost like all you guys and all you performers take a seat for just a moment and are choir members at Second Baptist Church in Nowhere, Mississippi. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you just listen to the Godfather, the master, and whatever he wants. And you're like a kid in a candy store if you get picked to do something. And if you're not, you're just happy you were in the candy store because you might get a sample before you leave. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I think, Bill has been such an influence on not only our music, but contemporary music.
Yeah.
And so many fields. I mean, people know who, and I think that brings a legitimacy to our music when he associates with it. It really does. And I think people see that. And I appreciate the fact that he has brought our music to main stage. And, he's like Les. You know, he put those Gaither videos on everybody's TV, for the world to see. And that, I think, has brought a legitimacy to our music.
I got to tell you something funny about Gaither. He may remember this. He may not remember this. I doubt he remembers it. Bill's in his 80s. 20 years ago, they were at Phillips Arena, and I got to get up being with the radio station and welcome the crowd to Phillips Arena. So after the concert, we were up by the Gaithers' table. And this gruff old woman, because there's an old woman or old man in every gospel music crowd that's just gruff for whatever reason. And, you know, I don't know, it's because they ate bad cornbread or what. But as she was walking out the door, she yelled over at Bill Gaither, "Bill, you're getting rich off all these old people off these videos." And she may have been saying it out of jest, or she may have been saying it because she was just rude, or she may have been lovingly saying it. I don't know. But Bill gave her the best answer I think I've ever heard. You know what he said?
What's that?
"Ma'am, I was rich before I ever cut the first video. The Lord's blessed me. Thank you for your comment."
That's a great answer.
What else are you supposed to say? I mean, I thought that's perfect. But you
that's
know what? Bill reminds me of this when I see Bill this. He puts others first and himself last. He is he's never claimed to be the best singer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's always pushing others to be first.
Yeah.
And what a quality.
Well, what he has done is he provides a platform for other artists to excel themselves. And that's what he does. He puts, like you said, he puts others first. And that has, that's always a great character aspect of somebody.
Bridges the gap.
Yep.
Bridges the gap.
Yep.
Who's going to be some of our people to take their places, Arthur? Who's going to take, I mean, we'll never replace George and Glenn. We'll never replace Hamill or Foxy. We'll never replace people like the Spears or the Spencers. But who are some of the folks, including yourself, and I'm going to throw you in that category because Arthur Rice is one that's going to carry the torch. But who's some other folks we can look to carry the torch through NQC and other events for the next 10, 15, 20 years? Who should
people? Well, I think for sure Gerald Wolfe has done a tremendous job at doing that, and he is doing a great and bringing back with the hymn sing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that has just been a tremendous thing for our music and bringing that bringing that back into focus, and I love that, and I think Gerald for one is one that's going to. And I tell you somebody else who I think is going to be great at bringing our music on the platform is Jim Brady.
Yeah,
Jim loves this music. He has a heart for it. Has a heart for, and he's got a tremendous group, and tremendous tree. I mean, buddy, they can sing, and they go into different platforms that a lot of groups can't, but they take our music with them and they expand our industry.
No doubt. I tell you somebody who I think has that very similar Gaither effect, okay, is Jason Crabb. And what I mean by that is Jason can not only identify with the Southern gospel folks for which his roots were started in, he can identify with the country folks because he knows so many of them because he sings on the Grand Ole Opry 3 to 4 times a year, personal friends with Blake Shelton, personal friends with, open for Trace Atkins. How many gospel stars this day and time? And when I use the word stars, gospel artist, I use that word, are opening for Trace Atkins, friends with Reba McEntire, friends with names that the regular folks that don't listen to gospel music but like it, they know these country names. And then he's also crossed over and touched a lot of the folks in the contemporary world. From Jamie Grace to David Crider to Mac Powell and people like that. And he stands right in the middle of that mix of Christian music. And people can say, oh, he don't sing Southern gospel all the time. You know what? When he got up there at the Quartet Convention with that guitar and he started doing He Never Promised That the Cross Would Not Get Heavy, I don't think there was nobody wanting him to stop. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. It helps Jason's a singer.
Yeah.
And he has touched so many people. And you're right. I think he's a great advocate for our music.
No doubt. No, a lot of good leaders, a lot of good future, a lot of good things. Arthur, let me say this again to you before we close. I appreciate you for being a part of SGNP. You know, for those of it don't realize out there, we're getting rich doing this. We hadn't told nobody that yet, have we?
Yeah. No. We... That's funny right there.
I mean, we're making money. I mean, folks don't realize. I mean, this is almost like one of them Winter Jam concerts our friends at Premier New Song does. You know, everybody's just paying $10 every time they listen, and we've had 150,000 people listen. So you do the math, Arthur. We get 10 bucks every time somebody listens. So,
wow.
You know.
Somebody's getting my check. I'm not sure who it is.
But, well, buddy, I tell you what. We got some good shows coming up, some good things coming up. And, you know, you mentioned Gerald, and let me say this about Gerald Wolf, okay? Here's what I appreciate about Gerald Wolf. He keeps it consistent. He may not change it the way I think he ought to change it. He may not do it the way I think he ought to do it, but the man is true to what he believes and what he wants to do and what he says the Lord's called him to. So for that, I'm extremely impressed, and you know
somebody else who we can't leave out is Clark Beasley.
Yeah,
I mean, Clark, to carry on what the quartet convention started, to carry on what his dad has really grew through the years, is a feat in itself, and he does an incredible job. All the production staff and everybody, Phil Broward, just puts those programs together and does a great job. But Clark, you've got to have a leader to that all that gets done. And my hat's off to him and the convention board for what a great job they do.
And let me say this in closing. I don't know what the convention board goes through. I don't know what it's like to have to schedule this. I don't know how it's like to schedule. Yes, I remember the days in Louisville and Nashville when I went, that you saw more groups and you saw more people active. But let's remember those times, it was a much larger audience and a larger gate, so to speak. So it was allowed that you could see artists that you wouldn't normally see there or whatever reason. But let me say this, those guys do a phenomenal, and ladies, I'm assuming if there's one on the board, they do a phenomenal job, and my hat's off to them for the great job they did this past week at NQC.
Absolutely.
2018.
Absolutely.
And you know what? We can all improve. They can improve. But guess what? If you want to see NQC improve yourself first.
Yeah.
Anytime in life that I've thought, you know what, so-and-so needs to improve, I probably got four fingers pointing back at me.
Exactly right.
Saying I need to improve. Buddy, it's been fun, man. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Man, we just having a great time. And hey, let me ask you, what's wrong with living right anyways?
Not one thing. We'll talk to you next week, Arthur. Be good, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Tim Newton with SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. We would love to have your group uploaded on our concert calendar page. Just simply email me at tnewton@bgadgroup.com to have all your concert and events promoted on our concert calendar page. This will be a huge boost in promoting your concerts and special events. Don't wait. Email me now at tnewton@bgadgroup.com and take advantage of this great opportunity. And hey, remember, what's wrong with living right anyway?
One night, one great concert. Paul Belcher Concerts presents a special Battle of Songs featuring the Spencers Family Reunion. Saturday, October 13th, 6 p.m. at the Knoxville Civic Auditorium. You'll also hear the Cooks. The Primitive Quartet.
I have a place I can tell you about.
And the Kaufmans.
Great,
free
concert music from Knoxville's own Southern Gospel Quartet. Tickets on sale now. Call 800-745-3000 or at the Civic Auditorium box office. A Paul Belcher Battle of Songs exclusive with the Spencers, the Cooks, the Primitive Quartet, and the Kaufmans. Saturday, October 13th, 6 p.m. at the Knoxville Civic Auditorium. Get more details now at paulbelcherconcerts.com. Paul Belcher Concerts Battle of Songs returns to the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. with the Hoppers.
Well, it's out, high in the heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shout time in heaven.
The Triumphant Quartet.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace.
The Guardians.
Somebody pray.
And the Jordan Family Band.
My God is faithful.
Tickets on sale now. Call 800-745-3000 or at the Memorial Auditorium box office. The Hoppers, the Triumphant Quartet, the Guardians, and the Jordan Family Band. Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. at the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Get more details now at paulbelcherconcerts.com.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200. Or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.
Hey, this is Darren Sutherland. Before I close, I want to thank our affiliates out there, WLJA in North Georgia, KWFC in Springdale, Arkansas, the new one, The Andrew Burnett Show, heard all across the country, and online, thelightatlanta.com, playing Southern gospel music online. We're adding affiliates every day. We're partnering with Ken and the folks over there at Gospel Music TV real soon, so we look forward to that partnership. If your gospel music entity would love to partner with SGMP, get a hold of us. It's real simple. Folks, here's the deal. We've reached out to literally every form of media in gospel music. If we've missed you, I'm sorry, but we've had great partnerships with folks like Paul Heil and others. If you haven't heard someone on the air, it's not because we hadn't reached out. We hope everyone is successful, no matter if they're a radio station, a magazine, a website, a group, whomever it is. God bless you, and let's make gospel music better than it was today, tomorrow. Easy enough?